than people who like to shed blood. He shed a lot of blood, but he was very different than the shedder of blood that we've been hearing about for a while now. So he only sheds blood unless he warns and gives chances, and then he'll shed blood. And so, and then other than that, he is also famous for some human things. You can call him really humanistic. You can really call him that. For example, when he destroyed, when he conquered Jerusalem, this was after a story. Well, you've studied it before. Anyways, he started first, and then he increased, and then he destroyed Jerusalem. He started little by little, and then he destroyed it. Then the last thing that happened with the last king named Zedekiah is that he listened. I want you to swear to me by your Lord, not by Nebuchadnezzar's Lord, but by Zedekiah's Lord. He says that you will accept your obedience to me, and I will bless you. And he really left him, and he really blessed him. Until Satan played with Zedekiah. And then what? He sent a message to the king of Egypt. He says, listen, I'm going to tell Pharaoh to go knock out this Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar made a decision that he's going to come and destroy Jerusalem. And that was God's will for that nation of Judah. And he... meaning God brings the right king in the right time, whether it's for destruction or whether for building up, but they end up fulfilling what God wants to do in that nation. He knows who he appoints. So what happened is that he took all the people there. He only left the poor, the people in the land. The people are so poor that they have nothing. And he gave them some stuff and he said, all right, guys, be nice. And I'm going to take all your leaders. I'll take everyone with me to Babylon. I didn't measure it, but I think about 900 to 1,000 kilometers or so, something like that. Anyway, he took them walking. And from how humanitarian he is, really weird. Obviously, God made him that way because he wants something out of him. Honestly, God wants him. That's the honest truth. And so he made a decision that with those who are ruling, he says, listen, I want to take from the people that I've taken captive, from people that I took captive, I want to take some people who will become administrators in my kingdom. Who has ever done that? He says, I don't care what anyone else did before me. This is what I want. Maybe he wants people to love him. Maybe he just likes people and he's humanitarian. He says, listen, find me people from the house, king's household, people with understanding. Not like Zedekiah. I mean, Zedekiah died there in Babylon. He captivated him too. But so they chose him. Four that are like top notch. Really strange. He never said he wants religious people. They're different religions. He doesn't care about their religion. He doesn't care about the God of Israel. He said, I want wise people. People who are wise, people who are level-headed, people who can stand before me, and he sees that he's the king of all. When he really is, he is the king of all. And he says, I want to be able to stand before me. It turned out that no one can stand of the emperor of the world unless they fear God. And that's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the king's palace and they became the closest to the king. Wow. Your Chaldeans, I mean, the Chaldeans are so famous for wisdom. And we have some Chaldeans with us in the church, actually. But they were the most famous. They conquered the whole world. You mean these captives become more important than your wise people and the magistrates and all these people that are with you? And the sorcerers? Yep. Yeah, I tested them and they passed. And then I've given them so much to be reign over, especially Daniel. I give him even more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the kingdom became something so beautiful. The first dream came, and then Daniel became promoted. They were already promoted, but he kind of even got promoted even more after he explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And the kingdom is going in peace, greatness. And then the king said, "Wow, I've never seen days like this in my life. Wow. God, the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, showed me and showed Daniel the dream. And that Daniel was explained to me by Daniel, the dream and its explanation. Is that the golden head of this statue of the world, that's me. He told me, I am this head. Wow. I'm going to make all humanity to know this truth. I am the head." And he made a big, big statue. I don't know how many millions it cost him, or billions, or trillions, or what's after trillions, and what's after all these trillions. It is not an empty golden statue. The whole thing is a statue from inside to outside. He has too much money. I don't know what to do with it. So golden statue. He brought all the nations. How many billions? I don't know. And he took the place where billions can be there. And then he made a fiery furnace. He says, "I'm going to show him the red eye. Listen, if you don't worship before me, listen, the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I am the head. Everyone needs to bow to me. Based on the words of the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or just say Daniel, but really all four are one, have one God. And he says, listen, when you hear the music, it's going to be some nice music. It's going to be a big concert. You know, music does things in people. Really, honestly, it does. It does big things in people. Forgive me, even in churches. With all respect to churches, the music can make you, in the church, some of the songs that we can hear can lead to our emotions and make us walk in the flesh, and some make us walk in the spirit. It depends on how the music is done, even the way the music is played and the lyrics. And listen, Dr. Mufid agrees with me about it. And because he agreed with me, I become very bold at sharing it. I said, listen, you can go to a Christian concert. And he named a specific singer. And he said, he talked about this guy Naguib Labib. He said, you can hear as a singer. And it makes you be revived. It makes you just excited and you want to clap for them. But this other singer, that you can hear them and makes you worship your God. Music does things in people, depending on the type of music and the genre, and then the writer, and then the lyrics and all that, and how spiritual they are. So what did he do? Everything he did, all the music is what is full of the flesh, and it pleads to the emotion, makes you want to bow down and go down straight on your knees and worship before this statue. But there's three that are still standing. He didn't see them, but okay, wait a minute. All this big authority of the music going, and so fearful, and such strong music pleads to the emotions, and billions, billions, billions to make this. And look at the artistic things of this. Look at the muscles that are found in it, and all this statue. And they're like, as if you did nothing. They didn't bow down. And who is it? These are the three that followed the God of Daniel. Where's Daniel? He wasn't there. He was probably leading another nation on behalf of the king. That's why he wasn't there. That's why this doesn't happen to him. And his anger was so aroused. And he's like, wait a minute. Obviously, when he gets crazy. When Zedekiah betrayed him, he wiped out the whole nation. And he wiped it clean, just like a well-washed plate. He's like, what kind of betrayal is this? Look at what I made these guys. Listen, their God's the one that said this about me. Even their God said this about me. I'm the head of this statue. How can they do this? And man, he turned red. It was a mess. And then he went and called them. Like I told you, he's very humanitarian. He gives a chance before he hits, before he punishes, he gives a chance. Which we didn't see in this demonic things that people want to make us take us back to. He's talking about Islam, where they just say hit first, punish first without giving a chance. People want to take us back to that retarded ages. He says, listen guys, listen, I'm going to give you a chance and pretend this didn't happen. I'm going to let it slide, but when you hear the music, I need you to bow down. Hey King, why are you giving us a chance? Listen, don't give us a chance. This is basically, it's not exactly what he said, but it's kind of like this. He said, listen, we don't worship a statue. Why? Because we live God. We worship God. God is our God. He didn't talk about Danny. He says, our God. These three said, our God told us and wrote to us that he said, to your God, you shall worship and only him you shall bow before. He can save us from your fiery furnace, and if he can't, we still won't worship you. We still won't bow down to the statue. He's like, all right. You know what? I'm going to make it 7 times stronger, the fire in this. Some people say it means 14 times, whatever. 7 or 14 is still a lot. Or maybe it's sevenfold. Anyways, it was really hot. And then he says, listen, I want you to tie them with 4 levels of things to tie them so that I know for sure that they have nothing to help them, that they go in there. I want them to melt in the fire and end, that they would end and Nebuchadnezzar would be glorified. He tied them from below. He tied them from the inside on their internal clothing and then the outer clothing. And then the outside clothing, 4 levels, 3 or 4 times, I believe. Anyways, and he brought some mighty men, bodybuilders of the army. He says, listen, take them and throw them in the fiery furnace. That's the story. They went and threw them. Before they threw them, the mighty people died from how hot the fire was. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, you really made a really hard fire, hot fire, that even just the heat of it killed the mighty men, and these people were thrown. In those days, he made it where it's like a thing where he gets to watch. It's really crazy what he made. It's unimaginary. It's really unbelievable. Where you can watch it, where he can watch, who's inside, and what happened, and what's happening. It's really the architecture of that fiery furnace is like the architecture of the pyramids. It's really great. That's why he threw them, and he's watching them. And then he looked, and he's like, wait a minute. He found 4, not 3. Wait a minute, I threw 3 in there. Who's that 4th guy? And he really looked at him and meditated on him. And it says he looks like a son of God. Who is this? And then suddenly he's like, wait a minute, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they're moving, they're not even tied anymore. Who loosed them? And he says, wait, let me look at my people. His advisor is like, hey guys, didn't we throw 3 people in there? Or 4? We threw 3. Well, I see 4. Do you see 4? Yeah, I see 4. Aren't they loose? Yeah. What? Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. How can he get his voice to them? It's really amazing architecture. Abednego, come back, men of the living God. What is this? How is this? And he was astonished here. Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And that's verse 24. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose haste and spoke. We don't know if he's watching from above or from the same level. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying, he got up quickly and to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Look at the next verse that he sees. He actually saw from below, not from above. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, and he's answering himself, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. The satraps, administrators, governors, they started studying them, and everyone, the kings, and all the medicine, all everything, and all the people that think, all the thinkers, the philosophers, everyone. So how could the fire not have any power on them? And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. It's as if they were in a nice garden with water, apples, nice food, delicious food, and it's none of those things that they were actually in. What was the secret that made this trouble look like that? It's the secret's in the fourth, who it looks like the Son of God. Why are you astonished, Nebuchadnezzar? First is, the fire was sevenfold stronger. The fire killed the mighty men before they threw them from the heat. It's not the fire that killed them, it's the heat of the fire. When they got close, now they had to throw them. They threw them. They got a little close to throw them. They died. The ones that were carrying them died, and the other ones went down and nothing happened. Not just that. Who is this fourth guy? Who's the fourth guy? Who is the one who loosed you from your chains? I chained you so much, I tied you up so much, it's impossible for you to even move. We threw you as a bunch of carcass down there. How could you have life? You didn't even have, all you had was a tongue that could speak. You can't move. And then how? Listen to the proof here. How is it that the fire had no power on your bodies? If the fire killed the mighty men of my people, how could it not have power over your bodies? How? What are you made out of? The second and the third thing and the fourth thing. The hair. It didn't get burnt. Actually, not even singed. And then the garments, which is the outer, did not get affected. Come on. Isn't there a little bit of like a piece of the cloth? Come on. I mean, they were wearing nice clothes in the because it was a big party, and it still looks good in the party. Okay, how about the smell? Man, we were really troubled by the smell from above. As we were watching you, we were troubled by the smell. How can the smell of fire not be on you? What is this? You're right. You should be astonished. You really need to be astonished. But the second question, then what? Okay, you were astonished. Now what? Then what? What did you do, Nebuchadnezzar? I did what I could. Impossible. It is something excellent. Things that don't happen in all the world. I gave an example to all the world. What do you do? Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. He sent a newsletter to the whole world. And they have frustrated the king's word. I'm telling you, they changed my word, and they are the ones that are right. I was wrong. Excellent, excellent, Nebuchadnezzar. And yielded their bodies that they should not serve or nor worship any god except their own God. Listen, between me and you, I really wish we would do this, okay? Honestly. Try to do it. Don't change the teaching of your God for people, or because of your boss, or because of your master, or because of the president. Please. Listen. Listen. Don't change your faith for people. People don't rule over your life. God is the master. God is the Lord. The Lord is God. These three lived like that. They destroyed the command of the king. They trust in their God. That is faith. Therefore, I make a decree. Wow, when he saw this, he made a decision that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then he promoted them. He had promoted Daniel. Now he promoted. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. Nebuchadnezzar. No one does like you. Nebuchadnezzar, you are excellent. A humble king. He really is. He's so humanitarian. He's really a nice guy. You are a king who confesses you're wrong when you do it. They changed it and they were right. But here's a question, Nebuchadnezzar. Come on, you have more questions? Are you telling me something else? Listen, I made a decision. I made a decision. I wrote a letter to all, every nation and every land that I reign over them. And if there's nothing I reign over, I even sent them a letter. Listen, there's no God can help and save except the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, a question for you, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Mr. Excuse me, sir, you won't say anything bad about their God. And actually, you said if anyone speaks bad, you're going to destroy them. But here's my real question. What is your position when it comes to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I didn't think about it. Well, think about it. No, it's not crossing my mind. Listen, I made a decision that in all my abilities, no one can speak bad or say any bad word. And if anyone says anything bad, I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to make their houses ash heaps. I didn't think about myself. Listen, I am the head of this statue. Excuse me. Listen, listen, king. Please listen. Please. What did the king, what did Daniel say about this statue? He said, I am the head of the statue. He says, yes, you are the head, O king. But then what? What do you mean then what? He says the Medes and the Pharisees are coming after, are the chest. And the stomach is made out of this. He doesn't know it, but he knows that there's other kingdoms coming, basically. And the Greeks, and then the legs are the Romans. He doesn't know all these things. Even Daniel doesn't know the exact details. Even Daniel didn't know, but we know. But it was explained in this way. And then the feet and the toes is the mixture. It's what we're living in right now. Until what happens? He says, what's going to happen? He says, there's going to be the stone that is not cut with hands. Well, don't you think the stone could be the Son of God? Look, you want me to get too deep into this, okay? I like where I'm at. I like where I'm at. Listen, I will be very forgiving, and I feel so generous to make this decision that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is greater than my God. That's good enough, okay? But I can't make a decision about me. If you want me to follow also? Come on. Listen, that's too far. You're pushing it too far. All right, Nebuchadnezzar. But because you have a nice heart, and you are actually chosen by God, I'm going to bring you something else, another thing. And with that, you shall be saved. What is it? I'm going to let you go on your roof of your palace and say, this is a great Babylon that I have built. And before that, I'll let you have a dream. You're going to be sleeping. And I'll let Daniel explain this to you. It says that this is for your enemy. This is not good for you, this dream. You're going to be kicked out of your own kingdom. You're going to be like an animal. And your nails are going to grow like the eagles, and seven times will pass over you. So that you could learn to fear God. And all that happened. And then the king made his decision. His own. Then the king shared his own testimony. That God is able to humble whoever walks with arrogance and pride. And can bring your pride to the floor. The stone, when it comes out, means what? It means that it's going to destroy. It's going to destroy this statue. That means you will be destroyed. What is it that makes him perplexed? What is the end result? The end result is positive, but it's not what is God wanting. So God had to do the next thing to make him be saved. Let's study the second part. The two disciples of Emmaus, some of the women confused us and they astonished us. So one of them is Cleopas and the other guy. And some people think it's Luke and says, or some people think it's his wife. And some people say that's Cleopas and Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Sorry, Cleopas and this other guy. So that's Mary, the wife of Cleopas. You mean Jesus is your relative? Yeah. My wife is his aunt, if we imagine they're correct. Obviously, he's not of the flesh, because it said the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's why the one who's born of you will be called the Son. My wife went with Mary Magdalene to the tomb, and she's coming giving me some news. It's really confusing. It is astonishing. Like Cleopas. Did you go to the tomb and look? No. Do you trust your wife, what she's saying? Not really. That's why I'm astonished. If I really believed her completely, I wouldn't be astonished. But my wife is confusing me. My wife is astonishing me. She says, listen, we don't see there the body, but also we met angels and they told us that he resurrected. What? It's really confusing. Are you confused because of that? Yeah. Well, that's a very holy thing to be confused about. I don't know what happened to Jesus. I wish he would resurrect it, but I'm not sure. So what after your perplexity? Would you do nothing? Listen. Listen to Christ, please, my beloved. When your problem comes and it confuses you, listen, here's my advice, Cleopas says. Toss it behind your back and walk. Really? What'd you do? I put Jerusalem behind me and I went to Emmaus. You think you dropped the problem? You think the problem is gone when you're walking with Luke? Well, you didn't do it. You're just running away from it. You're running away from your problem. Listen, it's a confusing problem. I'm just going to go to the next thing. Leave it. The problem didn't go away. Well, I don't know what to do. Listen, I had a meeting to go to Emmaus. I'm not going there especially. I said, listen, I just need to take a break. I need to take a break from my confusion. I'm just going to drive me crazy. Is that what the women saying is correct or not? This never happened in history. Never. Never happened. Are they imagining things? I don't know. What's the solution to you not knowing? I'll give my back to Jerusalem and go far. And they keep talking, him and Luke. Do they agree or not? They agree. What does that mean, agree? Meaning they both believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They both love the Lord Jesus Christ. They both were hoping that there is no death that would occur to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they both hope for resurrection if death happened. Even though the Lord said it more than once, he says that he will be delivered to the high priest and they will kill him and he will resurrect on the third day. And they know this is the third day. Don't you remember this one? Maybe a little, I don't know. It's not clear. Then what? No hope. Listen. He said, let's just give our back to Jerusalem and go far. Let's just smell some fresh air. And let's forget about this problem. And as we're walking, we can't forget about it. So we'll just talk about it. Well, as we were talking, are you arguing or are you agreeing? Or agree? You guys agree? Yeah. Are you guys throwing stones at each other or not? We're not. Well, it says that you guys are throwing words around. Meaning Cleopas. Listen, Luke, it's really strange, really strange. Impossible, impossible. Tell me, can you show me? Listen, in all the Old Testament, let's study. Yeah, there's really nothing like this. Then it couldn't happen. Right, Luke. Yeah, Luke, yep. Then they go down again. They feel down again. From confusion to confusion with despair. And they did that an hour or two. And then suddenly this guy comes join them as they're walking. I don't know how he stuck himself in their conversation. Really amazing. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Okay. Lord. Who's really the one in control of the eyes? God's decision. God's decision, yeah. Why? Because these people are fools. And they are hard of... their heart is hard to understand. So I strained their eyes from here. God's decision is that their eyes were restrained from knowing him. Why? Because I want to explain to them that they what they are supposed to understand from the Old Testament. They think this stuff doesn't exist in the Old Testament. Actually, it's full of it. It's full... full of things like that. It didn't happen. No, full of words about me. And there is resurrection in the Old Testament. And it says on the day, third day, he will resurrect. He will resurrect him in Hosea. There's more than one area. I have to explain to them. So they didn't do this ever again. Forgive me when I'm a fool. Forgive me. No one here is like me, okay? But if you feel like you're like me, please put yourself with me. When I'm a fool, find the Lord kind of blinding my eyes and reminding me of his goodness and what he does with me. And I'm perplexed and I'm down and I'm messed up until he treats me. He deals with me from within. Deals with me from within. So that I can come to him and say, Lord, I get it. I get it. Lord, when you're speaking, my heart was burning within me. Isn't that what they said? Our heart was burning within us, even though you still didn't get understand who he is and didn't know him until he disappeared from, and they said, and the depth and the feelings, they feel like, And they said, they forced him to come in so that they would continue the test, to continue the trial, to continue God's dealings with the fools and those who are slow to understand and to slow to faith like me. And suddenly their eyes were opened. And then he's gone. Like, oh, he's not here. Let's get out of this Emmaus and everything in it. Let's go back quickly. They went back quickly and they found the disciples gathered. And there they went. And he came to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come to the third. And then we'll compare. Nebuchadnezzar, the two disciples of Emmaus, and then Paul. Hey, Paul, come here. Listen, you messed us up with your words. Honestly, really. You really gave us things that are just ununderstandable. What'd you say here, Paul? It says we are perplexed, but not in despair. What does that mean? What does that mean, perplexed but not in despair? What are you perplexed about? I'm perplexed. In every difficult trial that the Lord puts me in. I'm perplexed in God's decision before even He knows this. But when it happens to me, that Satan's messenger buffets me, I'm perplexed. There's not a day from the day I came to know the Lord that I had an easy day. I did not have one easy day. I'm perplexed from the situation that I'm in. Yeah, I'm willing to suffer, and he really was. But Satan comes to me and says, come on, man, give up. Leave him. And I say, no. See, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. But when God appointed me, one of his decision that Ananias told me, he said that I will show him how much he must suffer. He must suffer for my name's sake. That was in the decision of appointing me. Why? Because of all the things I've done against him. I did it when I was following Satan. And God wants to make his name be glorified in me. And so he gives me these difficult things while I'm with him. And then more. Talks about his trials in Corinth. Whoa, what he's been through. 5 deaths. He died 5 times, yeah. And then he resurrected again. Really? Trials from the Jews. Trials from the Gentiles. Shipwrecked. How many times he was scourged? Whoa. I'm perplexed. Okay. Give me a break. Vacation, Lord. But I'm not in despair because I know that's what he wants of me. That's what he chose me for. Perplexed, but not in despair. Okay, that's worth being perplexed about. Yeah, makes sense. Listen, every place you go to, either they beat you up, either they kick you out, or they stone you, or they do something bad to you. Acts, you know, mentions some of them. Acts mentions one death, but it happened more than many times. 5 times I was scorched. And then death, I can't count how many times I died. What's the solution? What is it that you did to have victory over your perplexity? He says, I'm completely convinced of God's grace toward me. Completely convinced of everything that's written in the Word for our teaching. And the majority, not all. He gave, obviously I don't have all the teaching. He gave some to Peter, some to John, and to others. And the Lord focused a lot on Paul. He gave him a lot. Where's the verse that says, for our light affliction, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Who wrote that? Paul. Corinth is filled, Romans is filled, Galatians is filled with verses like that. Meaning, what do you do when you're perplexed, Paul? He says, I go more in him, into him. And he comes more into me. And then he comforts me. And you have the proof. When the messenger of Satan comes and slaps me and hits me and messes me up, he prayed to the Lord. Paul has never prayed for his trial except this time. 3 times. And then he said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power becomes perfected in your weakness. Wow. Then I will boast in my weakness. I will boast in my trial, in my needs. I will boast. Because when I am weak and perplexed and I don't get it, then I am strong. Because I rely on the Lord, I trust in Him. and I am thrown in his bosom. Paul, pray for us so that we would be like you. You know, a lot of people pray to saints and say, do this. Listen, I'll tell you the truth, all right? Paul knows nothing about us right now. He's enjoying. Who should I go? How can I go to the Lord? You know what? The Lord is really near you. Tell him, Lord, reveal to me about true godliness. Reveal to me about the heavenly rewards. Reveal to me about the way toward you. Tell me what to do. Tell me, how should I walk? Enter, get close to the Lord, that I may be found in him, that I may go and be in him. Wow. Don't go in circles around God. Enter straight into the Lord. There's some people like to go to angels. You know, the angels are servants. They don't know nothing. Some people like to go to the saints. The saints that are dead, they're already enjoying and they don't even think about us. Some people say no. I spoke this to the Orthodox priest, one of the high priests in Orthodox while we were in prison. And he says, you guys don't love Mary and you don't respect Mary. I said, what is your proof? He says, you guys don't pray to her. I said, actually, we respect her more than you guys, than the Orthodox. I said, listen, you guys pray to Mary and she's got no time for you. She's enjoying the Lord in great glory. Great glory. It says, for the first things don't even cross our mind. But the one who is with us is the one who told us that he's with us, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am with you all the days until the end of time. Paul did that. Forgive me that I'm saying this. This guy was my beloved. I had a little tough conversation with him a month ago, but when we were in prison, his heart was more gentle. I said to him, bring me Stephen. Did he say, hey, Lord, can you please... he said, oh, Mary, can you talk to Jesus so that Jesus, you know, can take it easy on me? Not mentioned at all like that. Therefore, the gospel, the Bible, which is the word of God, the only true word of God, which is here for us, makes us do like Paul. Listen, go straight into the Lord. He'll come in you and enjoy. And you'll be encouraged. And you go up there. You're going to find all the saints. You're going to find them all there. But they'll find that they're comforted. They don't serve us. Hey, come here. Come here. Help me out. You could say whatever you want. You're not going to lose anything. But the truth is, the honest truth, they're not listening to you. Anyways, it's denomination. I don't like to get too much into denomination stuff, but the Word of God teaches us this. Last thing. What's the end? The story of Nebuchadnezzar. How many people did the Lord appear to? Three. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The two disciples of Emmaus, how many did the Lord appear to? Two people. Cleopas, and most likely Luke, the writer. And Acts. How many appeared with Paul? To one man. The Lord appeared to only one man. Which means God can appear to a group of people who are suffering. Or those who are perplexed, a group of people who are perplexed. The Lord was with them to perplex the king, but he was with them, walked with them. I don't know if he actually loosed them or he just said be loosed or what. Maybe the fire, we don't know. Which, there's a group that is praying, symbolizes the church. The Lord is with the church in its trials and its tribulations when they are suffering. The Lord said, I am with you all the days until the end of time. The two disciples of Emmaus, these are people who are serving God. And they're friends. That's why they walked a long journey together. They're friends. Don't be perplexed. Yes, you are fools. He called them fools. And you are slow in faith. But you guys are walking and you serve me. And he's with them. And any human being who seeks me, I mean, Paul suffered so much, was perplexed so much that God appeared to him personally. He has entered into the Master. He really is. He appeared to him personally. Who said this verse through the Holy Spirit? He says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Topic of our message. And I hope the Lord has explained it to us. And I hope I got it, but it's perplexed period. Then what? After your perplexity and your confusion, what do you do? May the Lord give us enjoyment always, that all the time we would seek Him. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord and pray.